That's a hard act to follow, but I'm going to try to. Thank you, Tim, so much. I'll tell you, appreciate his passion, of course, which is so obvious, and his spirit. I also appreciate, though, that he enjoys doing what he does. He enjoys leading God's people in worship and song, and he has fun doing it. And church, that's okay. The Bible says whatever we do, let's do it all heartily to the Lord. And let's do it and enjoy doing it. We don't need any sourpuss Christians. We've got too many of those, I'm afraid. And so I appreciate Tim so much and his spirit at lifting us before the throne of God in praise and worship. So glad you're here this morning. We always have visitors and guests with us, and we're very pleased that you're here. And we do all that we do to proclaim and to declare just how wonderful our God is. And we're thankful for you being here. We're thankful for our visitors. We always have visitors, and we just really consider you a special guest, really not a visitor, but a part, someone who's come into our family this morning, and we hope that you feel that warmth and love this morning. Go ahead and turn over to Joshua chapter 1, and while you do that, once you hold those Bibles up, as we normally do here, I'll ask you, I would love to see those Bibles up. We want to hear God's Word this morning. A very familiar passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter 1. You know, I could take the time to read the chapter here this morning, but this is really a familiar ground of Scripture. We just sang a song here that is based on that, that Tim has just led us in, be strong and courageous. And so we're very familiar with these words. Let me just remind you the setup. The children of Israel are on the east side of the Jordan River. And after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years of discouragement and death and disillusionment, they finally have come to the edge of the promised land. They can see it. They can almost like they can reach out and touch it. They can smell it. They maybe even taste it, we might say. They are so close. But you know, there's always a big difference, and there's a big difference here for them being able to see it, being able to go in and take it. It's two different things. You know, this morning as we begin, I want to be very clear here. I want us to see ourselves in this story. This isn't just some ancient story about the Israelites conquering and going into a land that's very far from us. Now, we need to see ourselves in this story this morning. This story is really about you and about I as well. I want us to understand that. You and I, in that sense, are on the east side of the Jordan River. You and I are preparing to enter the promised land of God. I want us to make that personal application here this morning. And so you might think, well, Robert, now I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, I understand all that. But I want you to put yourself here this morning. You're on the east side of the Jordan, and you're preparing to enter the promised land. Yeah. We need to live with a greater spiritual reality, church. We so often just live in what we see and what we touch and what we experience, and you know, we go to our jobs and we go to work and we come home and we eat and we mow our yards and we see our neighbors and we do all those things, but there is a greater spiritual reality that we live in. And I want us to think about that this morning here, this bigger spiritual reality. We're on the east side of the Jordan River. We're looking at the promised land. The Exodus, what we call this, really, let's set up the stage even more. What this is called often, the Exodus. God's people, God came down through His and used His special servant Moses, you remember, to deliver His people out of Egyptian bondage. And God has been with them. He's been protecting them. He's been providing for them. He's brought them now to the very edge here on the east side of the Jordan River, on the edge of the promised land. And this is often, we call this the Exodus. This is really the central event in the Old Testament. This is what it really centers around and the focal point here. But again, greater spiritual reality this morning.
I want us to see ourselves in this story. This story really was intended by God to be just a kind of a smaller model of a much greater rescue mission God was going to be a part of. The Exodus, we could almost say, was like the dress rehearsal. Because there was going to come that time when God again was going to come to His people, to His creation. And He was going to do that in the form of His Son, Jesus the Christ. And He was going to have a rescue mission for all humanity. He was going to accomplish that at Calvary, at the cross. He was going to grab us back from the bondage of sin and Satan and allow us to be delivered and freed and to lead us and to point us to an eternal home of rest, a place that He describes, the Bible describes, as a new heaven and new earth. Now, I got a lot of questions about that. I have a lot of questions. It's not going to be and not going to have, and we're not going to experience the stuff in this life that we have to go through. It's going to be a new heaven and new earth. And I don't know about you, but I want to go there. I want a journey. I'm on a journey to the promised land. You see, you and I have not crossed over yet into the promised land. We're making that preparation. We're journeying there. We're not there yet. And if you and I are going to enter that promised land of rest, we call heaven, we've got to have something very critical, very essential. There's a lot of things we got to have. But this is one I'm focusing on here this morning. And it's the words that we find here in Joshua chapter 1. And these very familiar words as the Lord here tells Joshua, verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give to their ancestors." And so here we are on the banks, the east side of the Jordan River. We realize the greater spiritual reality. And we realize that we need to have the same thing God was calling these people to have. And He calls them a very key thing. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, of course, that if we're going to get into the promised land as well, we've got to have this as well, this key to getting into the promised land. Well, you can figure it out, I'm sure, as the verses I just read there in verse 6, be strong and courageous. That kind of just repeats in this entire chapter. Down in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. You skip down in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Hello, are we getting the point? How about one more time in verse 18 as they make a pledge to God? Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, we will be put to death. We'll be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. If you're going to get into the promised land, He says, you've got to have courage. You've got to have courage. We've got to be strong and courageous. It's only those, He says here, that have this. Now, why do we need courage? Let's think about that for just a second here. Why are we admonished here, and why were they told to be strong and courageous? Why did they need to have that? Why is it so important? Well, I think here for one reason is simply because God wants us there. He wants us in the promised land. He wants us to be with Him. But not everyone does. Do you realize that this morning? There is opposition. Now we know they were going to face physical opposition. They were going to face the nations that lived in the land that they were going to have to drive out. They were going to have to battle. They were going to have to fight. They were going to have opposition. You and I are the same as well. We have opposition. Not everyone wants us to get there. I guess, and this not everyone starts with Satan. Let's start with he doesn't want you to go to heaven. He's trying to keep you from heaven. Do you know that this morning? That's a spiritual reality we need to see. You know, we think about the passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. Put your finger there in Joshua 1, but flip over to this familiar passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 7, he tells us to cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And then in verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. I mean, that's a very vivid description. We're familiar with that description here. I mean, there's just some things we can identify. Not that we can identify necessarily by experience, that we've been out there in the middle of the jungle or in the middle of the wilderness, and there's a lion that comes upon us. I doubt many of us have ever had that experience. But we get the picture. We get the vivid imagery that there is one here that wants to consume us, that wants to destroy us. Be alert. Your devil, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking, looking to devour us. Satan and his allies. And boy, I wish we had time to talk about that spiritual warfare, that unseen realm. If we could just kind of roll back the curtains of the invisible world, we'd probably be shocked this morning, wouldn't we? If we just saw Satan and all of his spiritual, wicked, demonic forces. And again, I got a lot of questions about that. And the point is that not everyone wants us there. And they'll do anything they can to oppose us, to destroy us. And so the reason he calls Joshua and the people for courage is they're going to face opposition. They're going to face opposition. And if we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to have courage. Let me tell you something. You and I are not going to stroll into heaven. We're not just going to kind of waltz and just ease ourselves into heaven. If we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have to fight for it. You know, I love that imagery. I love that we sing songs about that. There are actually some that are kind of, in recent years, kind of frowning on some of the more militant fighting songs. You know, that soldiers of Christ arise, you know, and that sign. And they say, well, I don't know if that's really appropriate and fitting for a Christian to. The Holy Spirit put it in there for us. You think about those passages, 1 Timothy 6 and other passages that call us to be soldiers that have to fight, that have to battle. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the what? Spiritual armor of God that you can stand against the devil. We've got a fight on our hands. Now, when I say we've got to fight for heaven, don't misunderstand this morning. Let's just get this one real clear. You're not going to earn heaven, okay? That's not what this is saying. That's not the imagery. Matter of fact, in Joshua, he makes it real clear there that you don't get this because you've earned it or deserved it. There's nothing, even all your courage and all of your standing for God and fighting for Him, you don't deserve a thing. God's giving this to you. Look at verse 2 there, Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. And then down in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. You're not conquering anything. You're not earning anything. God says, I'm giving it to you. That's the grace of God. You see, we don't make it to heaven because we've earned it. Heaven is a gift of God, but it is a reward for those filled with faith. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Faith is the victory. Faith in God. Faith that God is with us. And boy, I wish we could talk about that this morning. That God is going with me and before me in this battle. But the point we're stressing this morning is this takes spiritual courage. As God protects us and goes with us and sustains us, we've got to have courage. Now, what does this courage mean? What does it look like? Again, just be real simple, real practical here this morning in our point, in our lesson here this morning. Well, again, he says here, I think what the key is in this. Notice verse 7 as we think about what this spiritual courage looks like and means. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do you see that? Do you see that call for courage to be a total surrender to God's will? To be a total surrender and obedient one to God's will. You don't turn to the left. You don't turn to the right. You stay exactly on my marked course that I've outlined for you. When we're talking about spiritual courage, we need to understand what we're talking about. We're not just talking about saying, I love you, Jesus. We're not minimizing that. But I'm saying that's not the courage necessarily we're talking about. I'll be honest with you. I don't think today, at least in our culture, in our time, that's going to take a lot of courage necessarily. There are folks that you can say you love Jesus. You can tell folks that you're a Christian. They're okay with that. Even in our culture that kind of puts down Christianity and some, there are celebrities, there are famous people, there are artists, there are actors and actresses and musicians. You can win an award and you can come on there and say, I love God, I love Jesus. Our world's okay with that. The courage comes in obeying Jesus, church. There's where the drawing line begins, the separation begins. When I go against the sensitivity of the culture, that is, when I'm not acting and loving it like Jesus like they think I should. You know, sometimes people will say, now don't get radical with your faith now and your Christianity. Don't go to some extreme now. Well, have we ever read the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5 through 7, read that tonight. Tell me if that's not an extreme radical call to love your enemies, to do good to those who persecute you, and you just go down the line. We're not just talking courage to say, I love Jesus this morning. I'm a Christian. I attend worship, and I'm thankful you're here. I'm glad you're here this morning. Even if you came here with not the best motives, maybe you came a little bit kicking and screaming, maybe. I'm glad you're here. But the key here is the courage to obey Jesus. It takes a lot of strength and courage in God's help to do that. Especially church, when we have to stand alone. You know, you just go through the pages of Scripture and you'll find individuals that in certain key moments and situations, oftentimes they had to stand alone. They had to stand alone for the Lord. I just think of so many. We get Abraham, Joseph. Did Joseph have to stand alone in Potiphar's house? She continually advanced on him and came at him day after day and finally just grabbed him and lie, have sex with me. No one's around. No one in the house is there. And Joseph ran. He stood for God. He didn't ran and stood is a contradiction, I know. But the way he stood was he ran. He got out of there. He stood for God, even alone. I think about Elijah. There's times where he had to battle. And he had Mount Carmel there with all the false prophets of Baal. We could just go down Daniel and his friends. We read about, just example after example. The courage to stand for Jesus even when we have to stand alone. One of the great special forces units in our military is the 75th Rangers. These guys are serious, okay? And they have, just like so many other special forces, they have a creed, a Ranger creed. And they will repeat this when they're training. They'll repeat this at their graduation ceremonies. They'll repeat this when they're in formation in line. I mean, and these aren't just words. These words are to become, they're to embrace them to the point that it becomes a part of their DNA. And it's incredible. You can read the Rangers Creed. You can get online, Google it. The last part of it says simply this: readily will I display the intestinal fortitude. Now let's stop right there just in case someone... Intestinal fortitude. I would say that's courage. That's another way of saying that. I will display the courage required to fight on to the Ranger objective. Notice, complete the mission, though I be what? The lone survivor. Even if everyone else drops down, even if everyone else dies, I am going to keep fighting on. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep going to the objective, to the mission. I am going to complete that task. Even if I have to stand alone. And it's no wonder we send in guys like this, units like this, right? They will not quit. They will not stop fighting. They have that courage. And they have the unity and the brotherhood and the... We understand all that. But this is the kind of call that we've got to be reminded at here this morning. Christianity, it's not a playground. It's a battlefield. And Satan wants you defeated and destroyed. He wants your family, by the way. He wants your home. And the only way to stand up with him, against him, is in the strength and power of our God as we go forth in that courage to fight, to live for the Lord, put on His armor of God. And that's going to take strength. That's going to take that courage. It's going to take a lot of that in our culture. Again, as we see our culture going down different paths and different roads when it comes to morality and sexual immorality and just everything we could look at. It just seems like so many times some folks just have a hard time even recognizing our culture. And it's probably going to get worse. But we're going to have to be strong and courageous. We're going to have to continue to lift up the banner of Jesus Christ, to be a light in a very dark world, to be very countercultural. Maybe sometimes our struggles in the church and our growth problems is we're just like the world. And we've got to be a countercultural. We've got to be so very different in the way we live, the way we act, our attitudes, our values, the way we parent, the way we work, the way we buy things, the way we sell things, everything about us has got to be that radical call to be different, to be for Jesus Christ, a light in a very dark world. And it's going to take, indeed, a lot of courage. It's going to take a lot of intestinal fortitude to obey Jesus this morning. Not just to identify with Jesus, not just to say you love Jesus, but to obey Jesus and to live a life that glorifies Him and has a heart for Him in all that we do. Again, Satan wants us to get us so distracted from this aspect of our reality, a spiritual reality. He wants us to forget the bigger picture. And that's why I said this morning, see yourselves in this story. We're not at the promised land yet, church. We are journeying. We are traveling. And we lift each other up. We hold each other up. And we fall. We pick each other up. We encourage each other. Absolutely. But God calls us to be strong and courageous as we go forward in the fight of His for His cause. And we're never going to see the promised land unless we have this kind of perspective as well. To be the right kind of people we need to be, to think, to love, to act, regardless of the cost, and I'm telling you, regardless of anyone else is with us. Now, that may mean some very difficult decisions sometimes when it comes to our friends, it may our associations, the way we do business. There may be certain jobs and certain areas that, it's going to be difficult for us. That's okay. We're going to stand for Jesus. We're going to be a light in this very dark world. There may be some very painful consequences. And it's not going to be easy. It wasn't for the children of Israel. They were going to have a lot of challenges, a lot of setbacks. But the call and the commitment to go forward in the strength and power of our God, to be strong and courageous this morning. I'm just challenging us as a church in a very easygoing sort of culture today that you can be a Christian, you can claim to love Jesus, just don't rock the boat. Just don't make any waves. Just kind of be seen and not heard. And we're called to be light bearers and salt and those who speak and live for the Lord in a very powerful way to others. Let's pray, and then we will we'll offer the Lord's invitation this morning. Father, I've tried to keep things real simple this morning. And I hope I haven't made it oversimplified it or too simplistic here, Father, but Father, we are on a great journey. We have come out of our own exodus of sin, and Father, you have freed us from the bondage of sin if we're in your Son, Jesus. You've provided for us, and Father, we are making our way through the wilderness. And Father, we realize that as we are journeying to that promised land, we're not there yet. Father, may we realize there is such a world of difference between seeing the promised land and having the faith and trust in you to go into that land. And Father, help us this morning. Give us a renewed spirit of commitment to doing whatever it takes to get there. Father, not that we earn it or that we deserve it, but Father, it's all a part of our faith. Father, I pray that we'll be bold and courageous, that we'll be renewed in our commitment to your word. Father, let us go wherever it leads us. Let us be whatever you call us to be, wherever we find ourselves in our lives. And Father, we are. This can be very scary. This can be very even dangerous at times. But Father, help us to be bold. Help us to be strong and courageous in you. Father, we are. Help us never feel alone. That you're with us, walking beside us. We're thankful for your Spirit that you have given to us, Father, as a guarantee, as a pledge. And Father, we're thankful for the Spirit that strengthens and helps us, Father, for the fight. Father, we just are so thankful for you. We glorify you for sending your Son Jesus to come on that rescue mission and to save us from our sin. And Father, who continues to walk with us and fight with us and ensuring, Father, that we don't fight in vain. And Father, it is through that precious name of Jesus and the power of His name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Well, where are you at this morning? Let me ask you, have you began the journey? Are you sitting on the sidelines? Are you watching others fight and on the battlefield? The invitation for you this morning is to come in obedience to the gospel in a heart that is filled with faith and belief that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins, and you're willing to change your life, to repent, to confess His beautiful, sweet name, that He is Lord and Savior, and that you're willing to meet Him in the waters of Christian baptism where you'll be reunited with Christ Jesus, have your sins forgiven through His blood. Maybe that's what you know is your need this morning. Maybe as a Christian, you've laid down your arms. You've stopped fighting. Maybe Satan has worked you over something bad this morning in your life. We want you to know this is a hospital. We want you to come here to this place, and I believe Crosstown is that type of church where you can find help and healing, but most importantly, healing from God. Forgiveness, I've preached on that in the last couple of weeks, the forgiveness, the grace of God. This is a place you can find that if you're a Christian who's wandered. Whatever your need this morning, we now want to sing this song as we stand.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for